This is FD Talks, a brand new podcast series by Funeral Directors Life, where we explore ideas, insights, and solutions for serving families in a rapidly changing marketplace. Well, hello and welcome to another edition of FD Talks. I've got Todd Carlson back in studio with me today to kind of elaborate on some of the points that we made last week. We decided to turn this into a two-part series just for the sake of having it to be more easily digestible, but there's so much that we've been able to unpack with this today. So Todd, thanks again for being with us.
Glad to be back, Rob. And yes, as we have been working to understand the new consumer study that we finished up here, there's so much information, there's so many ways to use the information that we could talk for hours and hours and hours, and I'm just glad that we're able to try to work to bring to the surface the most important things that our listeners need to know in order to make the biggest impact in their business.
One of the ones that we talked about yesterday, the another disconnect was that element of time.
Yes,
and that one kind of spoke to me a little bit. But tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, time. Wow, you know, time is a precious commodity, right? So this is some of the most shocking information in the study as far as the impact of the funeral directors that we are talking with. So you've seen it, Rob. We'll ask a funeral director, you know, if there's a death today, how many days is the right amount of days for a family to have between the date of death and the date of the service, whether it be cremation or a burial? And the funeral directors routinely say, you know, 3 to 5 days, 4 days on the average. That's probably, you know, and again, in an unofficial survey, about 80% of the responses, it's this 3 to 5 day window. One funeral director got a little closer to the study, Rob, and he said whatever a week from Saturday is, because everyone wants their funerals on a Saturday, was shocking, is that's pretty close to the consumer estimate. The study showed, and this is a little bit shocking, that the average person expects 12.7 days to work on their funeral plans from the date of death to the date of funeral. And when I say that to funeral directors, they're in disbelief and say, well, Rob, no. Or they'll say, Todd, that was influenced by COVID. Yeah, those numbers, that's just COVID, because COVID delayed things. Okay, so we went back and looked at the 2011 study where we asked the exact same question 10 years earlier, Rob. In 2011, it was 11.2 days. And that's a huge disconnect, because I'd like to ask you a couple questions, to kind of play a little bit of a game here. Sure. But if I were to say, Rob, you come into my funeral home and you're thinking you got a couple weeks to work on things, and you tell us what's going on in your world and all about your mother, and then I say, well, you know, we need to get this done the next 3 to 4 days. How do you feel as a consumer when I tell you you have an expectation of 2 weeks, but I tell you, wait, your new expectation is now 3 or 4 days? How do you feel?
We're going to have a problem.
Yeah, well, why so, Rob?
My answer ought to be an indication of that, but that would cause a lot of frustration, I think, thinking that I had time to do something, plan something meaningful and put some thought behind, and then be told that I was in a rush. And that would make me uneasy.
It'd make you uneasy, yeah, and you use a word, they're rushed.
Yeah.
You know, consumers, when there's a death, the emergency's over. There's no emergency anymore. We've got to help people slow down and take in the enormity of their loss and how that we have to create an event that will help them move through that initial mourning period. And do you want to feel rushed at that time? So if I help you feel rushed, there's another word for that. People feel pressure, right? And so we've got to be careful that we unintentionally help that family feel rushed and pressured. Now, Rob, let me ask you this. If you feel rushed and pressured by someone trying to work with you, what does that do to your level of trust in that person?
It hurts. It hurts the level of trust, I think, considerably.
Yeah, and I think, you know, no one wakes up today and says, hey, I really hope to erode trust today from the next family I serve.
Right.
You know, so that's why this is a very unconscious bias or unconscious disconnect that has great impact on funeral service. And again, if you think about it even a little more broadly, Rob, if the average family is thinking they got 2 weeks to work on a funeral, and we're helping that family create a custom memorial event that's truly personal, deeply meaningful, and effective, okay, can you put one of those together in 2 or 3 days? You know, just gathering photos, gathering the mementos, designing the flow of the service, designing the memorial event, because a lot of families today have less religious tradition to fall back on to carry them through these days. So they're looking for something more personal, more special on that day than a standard, you know, kind of religious service we give them. So if you combine this pressure cooker they feel that they're under to put this event together, and then we add time as an additional ingredient in that pressure cooker, we could set ourselves up for creating disappointment that just could frankly be avoided.
We spend a lot of time in the funeral homes, me and my video team, and that's one of the things that we hear from funeral directors is, you know, they talk about one of the pressure points in their job is that they only have a small window of time within to which to work and plan something meaningful. They equate it to a wedding a lot of times, but that, where does that perception come from?
Well, I think it's just the way it's always been. What's really a couple of things here, just again to a couple additional, if you think it, just stop. If we just stop and pause and think about our business and think about families, get in that mode of empathy. Because when I challenge funeral directors on that 12.7 day thing, say, just stop and think about it. It makes a lot of, it works. It's better for everyone. And Bill Seal, one of the founders of our company here, he used to say that the best advertising for a funeral is a great funeral. Right? I still believe that's true. That's why I'm a proponent of live streaming, because if we can add participants to the funeral, we need to be doing it. But we need people to see the good work that we do, and they're going to say, hey, that was unique, and that was different, that was special, that was meaningful, that was effective, and they'll want more of those kinds of services. The other thing is if we believe deep down inside that funerals are for the living, we should plan them at a time when most of the living can be there that are going to be a positive influence on that family during their grieving time. So if we put these factors together, yeah, will it be inconvenient at times? Will we have more services and maybe an evening or when it's easier, when it's more convenient for families to gather? We shouldn't demonize families for wanting convenience in their life. And what they're really saying is, I want the most people who can be available at the funeral to be able to attend. We should support that, and we should celebrate that, and we should work hard to have these funerals at times when it's best for the family, if we truly believe that funerals are for the living.
It's kind of interesting. I have a funeral that I'm actually attending today. It's a celebration / tribute kind of thing, but it's for a very unique person that we lost a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So, I know I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I know it's an odd thing to say, being connected to the industry and also, you know, being someone who's lost someone, but I'm looking forward to this event as an attendee.
Well, I think, Rob, I'm not a grief psychologist. I did spend 20 years as a licensed funeral director and worked in that field for many years as on the at-need side of the business. But I would say this to that. When that family is in that initial stage of those first 2 or 3 or 4 days, they report back, it's a blur. You know, I hardly have memories of it. I remember the support of the community, but, you know, I can't even remember if Rob attended the funeral, you know. But if we give it a little more time and let families make some adjustments with the reality of the loss, and then we have that event, I think then we have more time to plan a great event. I think it will add meaning, and it will add it will add effectiveness to what those events are trying to do for families. And when we talk about funerals, one of the things that Dr. Alan Wolfelt has taught us around here is one of the things that coming together does for funeral events is the family's grief support network is activated, right? And it's providing help in tangible and real ways. And if we speed things up and we gloss over that process, I think we lose that tremendous opportunity to help families.
Very good. So, Todd, do you have another disconnect?
Yeah, let's get on to our last disconnect here, Rob. Number four here is that this idea, and I alluded to it just a little bit ago, but the vast majority of funeral consumers believe a funeral is necessary even with cremation. So I shared the stat that 62% of the people in our study showed that 62% of those people said in the study that they believe a funeral service is necessary with cremation. That's almost two-thirds. So and you think about that, if families are expecting that. A couple other things. Only 10% of families say there's no need for a funeral, according to the study. Only 8% say funeral homes are not noble organizations. All right, and another stat, only 11% say they do not trust a funeral home. Now, that doesn't mean the opposite, the corresponding opposites or balance of that statistic is favorable, because there's a lot of people in the middle, because they don't know what they don't know, because they haven't experienced a funeral in their life. The idea, though, is that the strong negative crowd on funerals is relatively small. And I think when I talk to many funeral directors, they don't realize how much the community is actually seeing it their way and is on their side. I think we've come to believe our own marketing. We've come to believe our own education we've been getting. You've been sharing this, cremation's up, and people are, all these stats coming in that we're interpreting it as a negative and not remembering the positives that are out there. One last stat. Only 3% of the population says that funerals are not beneficial. So now not all people say they're beneficial. There's, again, a bunch of people in the middle ground that just don't know. But the good news is, if we can show families the benefits of a great funeral and plan great funerals for people who need them and deserve them, then I think that middle ground can be won over. I don't think we're ever going to have 100% satisfaction rate. But if you really think about it, only 10 to 11% of the public is staunchly anti-funeral, and that we should be grateful for, because of that is a reinforcement of the great work that funeral directors do.
I think it sounds like a reflection of some of the education that we've kind of helped them with over the years, because when cremation first started becoming more and more prolific, people weren't equating service or memorial or any other type of thing. I know the word wasn't something that consumers used. The word direct cremation is not something that consumers used a lot, but that was the idea.
Yeah, certainly. And I would say that, yeah, I agree with your assessment that we've all kind of contributed to this belief system that many funeral directors are embracing. But what we're trying to do in this podcast and the other educational material that we're providing is try to reframe the discussion to say, look, we've got great days ahead. Now, families don't want to be served the same as they've always been served. Some do, but some don't. Some want to be served in new ways. If we focus on figuring out the families who want to be served in the way that they're traditionally have been served and how to serve families in new and more creative and meaningful ways, that means there's a bright future for funeral service.
That actually kind of leads into my next question, because I was going to ask, what are some things that we can do to kind of avoid some of those pitfalls?
Yeah, I think so. I think here's the number one thing I would do if I were a funeral director today. I'd go to funeral celebrant training somewhere. We don't offer that here at Funeral Directors Life. We offer our Wolfelt training, which is wonderful, wonderful training and giving funeral directors language to deal with some of the concerns and issues that families are bringing to the table. But then how to translate that into service ideas. I support our Wolfelt training, but also the celebrant training that is available to the industry. The second thing I would do, the advice I'd give to a funeral director is, boy, it is time to invest in technology. Families are tech ready. The number one difference in the 2011 study and the 2021 study is technology in the consumer eyes is now ubiquitous, and they're looking to use technology to connect with you, to assist them in the arrangement process, and to provide ways to live stream and connect with their families. It's all about connection and using technology to connect. And then also the funeral director, when you're pressed for time and you're stressed out, you should be using your technology to make you more efficient and to save time in your own funeral home. So I'd say invest in technology. The third thing I want to say here is I really think this idea of converting your marketing and lead generation model to digital. Rob, we've seen that impact in the many funeral homeowners that we work with. Our digital marketing packages is that's where families' eyeballs are today. That's where you're going to connect with them, is in a digital format. And when you combine technology and digital marketing, you end up with we're seeing early signs that online funeral planning, both pre-need and at-need, is growing. Now, it's still a minority. It's still, but it's growing as people bring their buying habits into the profession. The last thing I'm going to mention, Rob, is I would go to funeraldirectorslife.com/report, funeraldirectorslife.com/report, and funeral directors can download the summary. It's a long summary, though, but it's a great amount of detail about the consumer study, so they can start wrapping their heads, like we've had to do over the last 18 months, wrapping their heads around how consumers are thinking. And once we adapt our mindset, then we can start serving them and acting to serve them in new and better ways.
Very good. Todd, what do you think? I always ask this question at the end of a discussion like this, but what do you think is at risk if you do nothing?
Well, Rob, I would rather change than be irrelevant, right? I think that's what's always at risk in business is if we think about this, if consumers want a different experience than we're providing them, there will be a marketplace created for that experience, whether we want it to or not. So we can be that new experience for families, or they can go get it somewhere else, or they'll do it on their own. And so I think the whole idea here is if we're willing to change, if we're willing to see things in a different way, if we're willing to experiment, try a few things, take a couple risks, I think we're going to have, there's tremendously bright days ahead of us.
Very good. Todd, as always, you bring fascinating stuff to the table. Definitely going to include, thanks for coming in, by the way, and I'm definitely going to include a link to this when we post it to that study, because I think that's just something that when people start reading that and they can start really applying those, some of the things that have been uncovered in that, I think that's very eye-opening.
It is, and I really encourage our listeners to go out there and download. It's free. So if you have an opportunity to educate yourself, spend a little, maybe 30 minutes getting into the material, and then maybe we start asking ourselves better questions.
Awesome. So I'm going to ask you, you're going to come back?
Oh, yeah. If you invite me, I'll come back.
Very good. Definitely going to do that. Thanks again for the insights, Todd. Just thank you for listening. If you have any ideas for future topics or any questions on the topics that we discussed today, please feel free to reach out to me at fdtalks@funeraldirectorslife.com. I'm Rob Davidson. Thanks for watching.
If you would like to reach out to us about this episode or this series, please visit us online at funeraldirectorslife.com/FD Talks. There you can find information about this episode and submit any comments, suggestions, or feedback about our series. And we also welcome your ideas for future episodes. Join us next time on FD Talks as we explore ideas, insights, and solutions for serving families in a rapidly changing marketplace.